For those of you who know about it, there are seven churches that the Apostle John wrote to. Now, these seven churches were seven literal churches, but they also are a picture of the whole church age. On the day of Pentecost, we had the first church, which was the Church of Jerusalem. And then these churches were planted by Paul. If you remember the church of Ephesus, he wrote to the book of Ephesians. Amen. So you look at these churches, these are churches that were planted. Now, again, as we study these churches, each one of them had certain strength, certain faults, certain instructions, and certain promise. So today we're on the church of Smyrna. And we look at that in the scripture, you'll find out the word Smyrna in the Greek mean myrrh. It's kind of like a picture of death. So we're going to look at that church today. So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelations chapter 2. A shout out again to our fifth Sunday. We had Pastor Newman and his wife from Jamaica, and it was a blessing. Amen. They gave us again a message on present your body a living sacrifice from Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I want to continue to pray for them. And he reached out to me when we started this work, and God is really blessing him. So y'all continue to lift them up in prayer. Amen. One of the six churches, the church of, again, Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. When you get there, say amen. Revelation chapter 2. You need a Bible or something to follow me in the Word of God. Again, it's not my opinion, not my philosophy, but we're going to read what thus said the Word of God. Again, notable of all the churches, there's two churches that there were no condemnation. And this is the first church, the church of Smyrna, that Jesus Christ did not tell them they had to repent or anything. Revelation 2, verse 8 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was what? Dead and is alive." So this is Jesus Christ talking to this church. If you have a Bible like me, everything that Jesus said, sometimes they put it in red. But I want you to know the whole Bible was said by Jesus. But these are things he said when he either was him walking or when he was writing to him through John. Verse 9, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art what?
Rich.
I want y'all to hone in on that, because they were poor, but he called them rich, and he put it in parentheses. "And I know the blaspheme of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." So he's telling them there's some people in the church that say they're Jews or say they're Christian, but they're not. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into what? Prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death." We're going to talk about that. The devil going to tempt you. The devil going to try you. The devil going to put some pressure on you. "But be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear," he says this to all the seven churches, "let him do what? Hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." This morning we're going to look at the second church, the church of Smyrna. We're going to look at this church, how there was a church of suffering. And we're going to use the title of the day, "No Pain, No Gain." They use that in gym. They use that in athlete. When you're lifting up weight, you have to put on more weights, and you have to go through pain to gain. So this church is going to have to go through suffering to be able to get the reap the benefits of serving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
No pain, no gain. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us a mind to be in the house of the Lord. Pray for those, Lord, that could not get here for whatever reason, some sick, some hurting, some don't have transportation. But we praying, Lord, that you minister to them where they at, Lord. Some may be on the bed of affliction, Lord, but minister to them, Lord, somehow, somewhere, that they would be able to receive the blessing from the word today. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson we had this morning on generous giving. How we saw in the Old Testament how the people gave of a free, willingly spirit, of a free, willingly heart. in the New Testament, how the people gave. Lord, help us today to realize that you don't force us, you don't constrain us. You want us to give of our service, of our time, of our talents, of our money to the Lord. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for our opening prayer by Deacon Jennings, Lord. Thank you for our time of our fellowship, Lord. Thank you for our time of our singing happy birthday, Lord. Thank you for our time of our announcements, Lord. Time of our reading our covenant. Thank you for our time of our offering, Lord. Bless those funds. Use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. And then thank you, Lord, for the praise team, for the songs that they sung to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, now it's time for the preaching ceremony, and I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you crown my head with wisdom, that you use me as a conduit, as a vehicle to preach and teach the unadulterated word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. No pain, no gain. In every one of these salutations opening to the church, Jesus describes himself. We'll see a symmetry between the church of Ephesus and the church of Smyrna. In the church of Ephesus, he starts out by saying, he that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So he's talking about Jesus walking in the midst of seven churches. Well, this church, Smyrna, he starts out by saying, I am the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega, which was dead and is alive. So he's letting this church know that I'm the one that they thought they had me. They thought they killed me, but I'm alive forevermore. So we need to be thankful that we have a Lord that's preeminent, the Lord that's over everything. Amen? We're going to start out with several words in this church that we're going to talk about that describe this church that we'll be able to get a blessing from. The first word is tribulation. Tribulation is where you're going through some testing. You're going through some trials. You're going through some things in your life. This church is classified as a church that has to deal with afflictions, a church that's pushed to the limit, a church that's going through their wits' end. Everything is going wrong. Well, the Bible says that this tribulation brings patience. So we need to be careful that sometimes we don't want trials, but trials make us better. Amen? Amen. You would never know what it was to be well if you never been sick. Amen. You would never know what to be full if you never been hungry. So God sends us through trial not to break us, just to make us better. Amen. And then the word poverty. A lot of time when we look at the word poverty, we think that the word poverty is a bad word. But we see in the scripture, the word poverty can be used good. We see this used three times in the scripture. In the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians, it's talk about how 2 Corinthians 8:2, how the church, out of their deep poverty, they abound into the riches of how they gave generously, even though they was poor. A lot of time, you might not believe it a lot of time, but a lot of time it's a blessing to be poor because you can thank the Lord and you can live by the Lord hand to mouth, hand to mouth. The Lord feed me every day. Amen. Amen. I would rather have bread every morning from the Lord than to have a baker of bread that's going to go stale. Amen. See, bread will go stale when you store it up. But if God feed me every day, like he did in the wilderness, he prayed to people every day. It was fresh and hot from the oven. Amen. And we see that Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty, you might be made rich. Maybe you don't understand that. Let me explain it to you. Jesus had all the glory in heaven. Jesus was sitting at the throne. Jesus didn't have no need to come to earth. But what Jesus decided was to take his royal robe and put it to the side and come down here as a man and be poor. But in the meantime, he took that robe that he took off and put it on me. Amen. So guess what? Because you are a child of the king, you're rich. Amen. Now, don't get caught up in the thing material richness is all the riches you need. Sometimes just having a sound mind is rich. Sometimes just having a roof over your head and food to eat is rich. Sometimes just having, listen to me, people that you love and care about is rich. I don't know what you know it or not, but there are a lot of people don't have nobody in the world to go to. Don't have nobody they can talk to. Don't have nobody they can confide in. Let me tell you, I'm rich because I got a lot of things. I'm rich in my own mind. I'm rich because I have a roof. I'm rich. Let me tell you, you might be going through a trial, but don't forget Jesus Christ became poor that you may be rich. Amen? Amen. And then the next word that we want to talk about is blaspheming. In this chapter, he said, I know you're blaspheming. Blasphemy means slander, malicious talk. People that put your name on the signboard and attack you, attack your character. Let me tell you, people can attack you, but it don't have to stick. Amen? People can say ugly things about you, but it don't have to be true. So you'll find out this church, they were taking a lot of attacks from the enemy. They was taking a lot of attacks from blaspheming. They take a lot of vicious talk, a lot of gossip. But let me tell you, be strong, because again, God will vindicate you. Amen? And then the last word, we talked about poverty. We talked about blaspheming. We talked about the last word we were in tribulation is fear not. This word that Jesus was telling them they need to fear not, he was saying that you need to have the type of fear that you never give up. You never quit. See, sometimes we get so bogged down that we want to quit. Well, I'm here to tell you, don't quit. Amen. Don't give in. Don't throw up the white towel. Don't surrender. Stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. It's worth serving the Lord. It's going to pay off after a while. Yes, the devil will attack you, but don't quit. Keep on doing right. Keep on living for the Lord. Keep on praying. It's going to pay off after a while. Amen? No pain, no gain. As we talk about this church of Smyrna, we're going to give you 3 points this morning. Point number one is the source of the church of Smyrna's suffering was none other than the devil himself. By the way, the devil always going to be around. When you want to do right, believe me, the devil going to be right there. The devil always there to cause confusion. The devil, I'm going to give you 6 D's that the devil do. The devil will bring doubt in your mind. Even with, back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, God told them, don't eat from that tree. The devil put some doubt in your mind. Look, when the devil bring you doubt, you need to think on the Lord. Don't let the devil give you doubt. The devil will not only give you doubt, the devil will give you deception. The devil is one of the biggest deceivers there is. He will make something look like gold or look like silver or look like shining, but it's immaterial. It's not for real. Amen? Amen. So don't let the devil doubt. Don't let the devil give you deception. And don't let the devil, he's dishonest. You know, it's one thing to be honest, but there's a lot of dishonest folks in the world. They tell you one thing, but they're not true to it. They lie about it. Amen? I don't know why y'all heard it, and this just came to my mind. They saying now that Iran nuclear deal was a big lie. That's what they saying. You know, I don't know how true it is. But what they saying that they promised that they wouldn't continue to enrich uranium to build nuclear bomb. They just found out some sites through satellites. You know, they have these drones now that can fly and look and take pictures. They saying they got nuclear bomb being made. Let me tell you, dishonest. The devil is a dishonest person. Foe, he's always dishonest. Do not let the devil give you some dishonesty. Doubt, deception, dishonest, distrust, distort, and discouragement. All these come from the devil. The name Smyrna, I told you, means myrrh. It means bitterness. This church had to go through some suffering. They had to go through some suffering because the devil was going to try you. Let's go back to our scripture. It says, I know thy works. Verse 9, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of devil. The devil will deceive you. The devil will always bring some suffering. The Bible say the thief come not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you may have more abundance. Let me tell you, the devil is not out to help nobody. He gonna steal. He's going to kill and he's going to destroy. So he was trying to take this church. And look at verse 10. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful in the death. The devil gonna cause problems in your life. I wish I could tell you it's gonna be easy, but I'm gonna be honest with you. When you decide that you wanna live for the Lord, the devil gonna knock at your door. Amen? The devil is chalking at the bitch. I told you last week, Jesus told Peter, say, Peter, the devil wanna sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. Whenever you wanna do right, the devil is gonna show up. The devil wanna throw you into jail. He wanna throw you into the lions. The devil wanna put you in the dungeon. The devil has a diabolical plan. He's called a flamethrower. He's always out to mess up your life. Remember Potiphar? Remember Joseph? Joseph was tricked by his brothers, or not tricked by, but put in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery. And then he went to Potiphar's house, and he was doing a good thing. He was managing Pilate's bills. He was handling all his finance. But Pilate's wife, y'all remember the story? Put an eye on Joseph. And then, because Joseph wouldn't succumb to her seduction, she lied on him. Guess what happened to Joseph? He was put in prison. Innocent! There's a lot of things going to happen in your life. You're going to be innocent, but the devil going to think he win. But let me tell you, don't get down, because God is still on your side. Amen? The Bible says, when God is for you, who can be against you? Joseph got put into jail, innocent. Daniel was a man down in Babylon doing his job. He wasn't causing any kind of problem. He was opening his window to Jerusalem, praying 3 times a day. But some 3 vice presidents who didn't like Daniel found a plot. Y'all remember the story? They said, oh, King Darius, Daniel is worshiping another guy, because the king had made a decree in the Medes and Persia that you couldn't bow to any other guy. So they end up lying on Daniel, malicious gossip. They had him thrown into a lion's den. Y'all remember the story? Here's another case. The devil gonna try you. The devil tried Daniel. Now, it could have been an easy thing that when Daniel saw them looking at him, Daniel was getting ready to pray. Daniel could have said, you know what, I'm not gonna do this, because if I do this, they're going to put me in the lion's den. But you know what Daniel said? Daniel opened his window up, turned to the east, and prayed anyway. Don't let nobody stop you from living for the Lord. Don't let nobody stop you from being faithful. Don't let nobody stop you from doing what's right. God will vindicate. Daniel was innocent. He was thrown to the lion. Peter and John was put in prison for preaching in the name of Jesus. Paul and Silas was in Acts chapter 16. They whipped them with many stripes. They cast them into prison. The same thing was happening in Smyrna. Smyrna was suffering because there were some people in the church that said they were Jews. They said they were Christian, but they were hypocrites. They were people that was causing them problems. So they were trying them. The Bible said 10 days. I don't know why 10 days. It might have been because of the 10 different emperors that was in, and they were persecuting Christians. They were throwing Christians to the lion den. Most of you seen the movie Gladiators, where they feed you to the lions, that they were burning Christians at the stake. So whatever you do, do not give up. Do not quit. Do not give in. Amen? The devil gonna try you. The devil gonna bring some temptation. But learn how to say no to the devil. I tell young boys, say no to drugs. I tell young girls, say no to sex. Whenever people want to do something wrong, when they want to cheat in school, when they want to lie to the parent, when they want to stay out all night, say no. Learn how to resist the devil. Draw nigh to the Lord, and the devil himself will flee. Amen? Learn how to do right. Do those things that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. Point number one, the source of your suffering. I don't know who I'm talking to you, but the source of your suffering is from the devil, folks. The devil is the only one that's out to take you out, but he's already defeated. Let me say that loud. He's defeated. The devil has no power. He's been rendered toothless. Let me help you out, since y'all don't understand that. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion. Sugar, who he made about. Do y'all know how, you ever watch Wild Kingdom? You know how a lion does? A lion does not roar until he has captured his prey. Because if he roar, he is scared to pray a roar. The devil know he can't capture you, so he's doing a lot of roaring. He ain't got nothing to capture. So let me tell you, he's a roaring lion that can't get to you. And if you want to know this, he's toothless. Oh, y'all ain't like you don't help me. He can't gum you because he ain't got no teeth. So stop worrying about the devil. He has no power. The source of their suffering was the devil. Point number two, he told him, said, if you endure tribulation, I will give you a crown of life. Amen. Deacon Jenner brought out those five crowns that we're going to talk about today, but a crown of life. This is everlasting life. We need that crown of life. God said, the Bible said, be faithful unto death. This is the only place in the Bible where he says, be faithful unto death. You're going to go through some hard times. You're going to go through some difficult time. Dr. Martin Luther King said, there's some difficult days ahead, but I've been to the mountaintop. Y'all remember that? There are going to be some difficult days in your life, but I'm telling you now, don't quit. Be faithful unto death. God is going to give you a crown of life. That crown of life is mentioned in the scriptures two times. In James 1:12, it says, a man that endureth temptation will get a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. God want to give you a crown. Amen. There's five crowns. There's a crown of glory that you can get if you serve God. There's a crown of rejoicing if you look forward to his coming. There's a crown of righteousness. The Bible said all those that love his appearing will receive that crown of righteousness. There's a soul in a crown. We've been talking about that on fourth Sunday night. If you win people to the Lord, you can get a crown. Amen. We saw in our Sunday school lesson, when the 24 elders was round the throne, each of them had a crown of gold on their head. Those crowns was a picture of what they did down here on earth. And they took those crowns, they cast them at the feet of Jesus. Let me tell you, we ought to be faithful until death. Amen. Amen? Amen. Now, you're not living in the Middle East. They're over there cutting Christians' head off. They're over there beheading Christians. But let me tell you, you still got a lot of what I call over here mental pressure. People don't want you to say nothing about the Lord. People don't want you to say nothing about Jesus. People don't want you to say nothing about sin. We had in our Sunday school lesson today about sin money. Sin money is that money that is got of doing immorality, drug money, prostitute money. God is not into that. We need money that's built by God's people building God's house. Amen? Crown of life. They stoned Stephen to death. Stephen was faithful unto death. Stephen got up and preached, you stiff-necked, you already resist the Holy Ghost, and they killed Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr. But Stephen was faithful unto death. Amen? James was killed. Acts 12:1 says, Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James was faithful unto death. When you study this, you'll find out there have been a lot of people that were faithful. Polycarp, he was a disciple of John. He was 86 years old, and they was getting ready to burn him to the stake. And they put all this straw around, they put him on the stake, and they was getting ready to set the fire. He said, hold on a minute, you ain't got to set the fire, I'll set it for you. And he began to sing praise of the Lord. And as he began to sing praise of the Lord, he began to record and preach the scriptures, and he set his own fire. And he said, it's 86 years, hell, he's been faithful to me. I cannot renounce my Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, be faithful unto death. Amen? Amen. The Bible talks about many, and again, Fox Book of Martyrs, there have been many people that have been faithful. There have been many people that have died for their faith. Y'all heard about Columbine. That was where Dalen and Stephen, these guys dressed up in goth and black, and they took some assault rifles and they went into the school and they began to shoot up the school. Everybody remember Columbine, right? Well, there was a girl in there who was reading the Bible, 16. Y'all remember the story? And they told her to say, now, you need to denounce Christ. And she would not, and they killed her. So be faithful unto death. I got news for you. She's a trophy of grace in heaven right now. All those martyrs that have died for Christ, that have been faithful. John the Baptist got his head cut off. But I got news for you. He's going to be exalted in heaven. All those people that have died. I don't know about you. Maybe we're not, our life may not be threatened. But if it is, be faithful. Be faithful. The song says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Be faithful in the Lord. Amen. During the Grecian games, they had like a Olympics. They would get a laurel crown or a wreath, a crown of leaves. But those crowns was corruptible. They were corrupt. They would fade away. These crowns that we can get are incorruptible. Are y'all listening to me? The crown that I can get, can't nobody take it away. The crown that I get will not fade away. You know, today you can get some jewelry. Sometimes it'll turn green on you. I don't know about y'all. But you can get that faded jewelry. But I'm talking about gold and silver that will last forever. No pain, no gain. Number one, the source of the suffering of the church in Smyrna was the devil. Number two, if they endure tribulation, Jesus is going to give them a crown of life. And if you do tribulation, God going to give you a crown of life. And the last one is, if you overcome, you will not be hurt of the second death. Go back to our text. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the what? Second death. Overcome, somebody that stay in the fight. Don't quit. Will not be heard of the second death. Well, what's the second death, preacher? Well, here it is. There's three types of death. There's physical death. When you go to a funeral, that person is dead. There's spiritual death. There's people that are alive walking around, but they are spiritually dead. And then there's eternal death, separating from God. Amen? The best way to say it is like this. If you're born one time, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're going to die one time. Amen? The meaning of the seven deaths is explained in Revelation. The Bible says those who will be escaped the second death is in Revelation 26. It says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. He will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. If you want power over the second death, you need to be in the first resurrection. What you talking about, preacher? There's coming a time when Jesus Christ is going to come back and call it a rapture. He's going to call the church up, a potsu. He's going to snatch the church up. That is what you need to be in. You need to be in the first resurrection. Well, how do you get in the first resurrection? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ now. Amen? Before he come back. You know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you will be in the first resurrection. There's only two resurrections. There's the resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the lost. You that are saved, when he blow that trumpet and come out on that cloud and call up, will be in that first resurrection. Amen? You will have power over the second death. And then the Bible said in Revelation 20:14 that the second death is the lake of fire. God's going to call everybody to the great white throne that don't know the Lord. And the Bible said death and hell going to be cast into the lake of fire that burning with brimstone, and they will be tortured day and night forever. That's the second death. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the lake of fire. Amen. So the Bible said what you need to do, you need to experience Christ today so you don't have to experience the second death. Turn to Revelation. I want to show you a verse. Turn to Revelation chapter 21 real quick. I'm going to show you everybody who's going to have to go through the second death. We had this on Wednesday, but I'll show it to you again. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. When you get that, say amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. We'll start with verse 7. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But these are the people going to be in the second death. Verse 8. But the fearful, the ones that was too afraid to accept Jesus, and the unbelieving, the ones that refuse to get right, and the abominable, and the murderers, all these are people that will not get right with the Lord, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerer, that word sorcerer comes from the word drugs, the pharmaceutical, those, and the idolaters, those that had idols, who are, and all liars, shall have their part where? in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You don't want to be a part of that second death. You don't want to be in that group. You want to be in the group that's redeemed. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Jesus Christ said, you don't want to go to a devil's hell. He said in Mark 9:44, where the worm dies not and the fire is quenched. It's not quenched. When you get down to hell, these people are going to be in fire forever. It's a picture of Moses saw the burning bush. It was been on fire, but it wasn't consumed. People in hell are going to be on fire all the time, forever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. Jesus said it like this. He used two analogies. He said, if your eye offend you, it's best to pluck it out than to go into that place called hell. It's best to go into heaven with one eye than to go in with two eyes into hell. Amen? Amen. Now, he wasn't literally talking about plucking your eye out. Some people try to take the Bible literally in some situations. Well, in that situation, it was an allegory. He was saying, if your eyes, you keep looking at sin. By the way, that's why we have on there pornography. You keep looking at wickedness. Your eyes, you can't control your eyes. The Bible says you need to pluck it out. Now, what he didn't mean pluck it out. He means that you need to cover it, like Job said. You need to cover your eyes. Stop looking at it. There's a little old thing that we say, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For all you all that's watching BET and MTV and all, let me tell you, you can cut that mess off. Your eyes don't have to see that. When some stuff come on your face page or some stuff come on your screen or some stuff come on that you know is wicked, there's a button that say power off. You can cut it off. Amen? So you control your eyes. You can control, and by the way, the eye is the channel to your brain. Did you know that? You keep looking at something for a long time, you'll start having visions of it and images of it. And by the way, you'll dream about it. So you know what you need to do? You need to cut it off. And then he made another statement. He said, and if your foot offend you, cut it off. Cast it away. It's better to go into heaven with one foot than to go in with two into hell. Now, he wasn't saying actually cut your foot off, but he was saying that if you can't control your foot, then you need to quit going to the place you need to go to. The old folks said it like this. When I got saved, my foot don't go where they used to go. What you saying, preacher? Your foot take you to a lot of places. Clubs. To places that you don't need to be going. When your foot get ready to go that way, you need to say, foot, don't fail me now. I'm not going that way. You need to control your foot. But by the way, the head controls everything. So if you listen to the head, and Jesus is the head, he'll control your foot. He'll control your hands. He'll control your feelings. So guess what? We don't need to go in this place called Lake of Fire. Let me give you the Lake of Fire. We believe is somewhere around 400 to 550 degrees Fahrenheit. Two times the temperature of boiling water. They're going to be tormented. The rich man went to hell. And when the rich man went to hell, Lazarus, he looked up and saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Y'all know the story. And the rich man said to Abraham, Abraham, send Lazarus down here with a drop of water that I can cool my tongue. Y'all remember that? In this flame. Let me tell you, hell is real. The lake of fire is real. You don't want to go there. If you like the church of Smyrna, you want to be, you want to miss the second death. Let's go back to that verse. It says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. So the question I have for you today is, do you have Christ in your life? Are you going to miss the second death? Are you willing to go through the suffering that the church of Smyrna went to? Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Lord alone? Are you willing to win one of these crowns or be given one of these crowns of life? The choice is yours. John said like this in 1 John 5:12. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son has not life. So you can be like the church of Smyrna today. You can be a suffering church, but looking forward to Jesus Christ exalting you when you get to heaven. Amen. be faithful unto death. Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I've done as you shared. I shared with them the suffering church, the church of Smyrna, how that church was persecuted by the devil, how that church was blasphemed, how that church had people that were scandalizing their name, but they were faithful unto death, Lord. They was tried 10 days, put in prison. But Lord, you gave them a crown of life, and you said they would not be heard of the second death. Lord, maybe there's one here today, Lord, that needs to get things right, Lord. Needs to make sure that they follow you to the letter, and they follow you as you lead them in their heart by the Holy Spirit. So Lord, as to give the invitation, draw them unto yourself today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor. For the name of Jesus, I pray.